person of peace is somebody the Holy Spirit's already dealing with, but they don't know what to do with it. They're already under conviction. They're already needing prayer. They're already open. When Paul wrote, I love the fact that whenever he wrote in the book of Romans. He addressed the book of Romans to the saints in Rome, but also to the household of Caesar and to the Praetorian Guard because of those he had won to Christ. He had won the household of Caesar to the Lord, many of them because of his testimony and faith. Now listen to this verse here. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking. See, some of the times, the reason we can't really see the results of harvest is because we just talk to somebody and they never talk to them again. So if you go to that waiter and he accepts a prayer, you go back to that restaurant every time and you ask for that waiter and you give him a big tip so he looks for you to come. And that's how you build that relationship. Remain in the same house. If you find someone that you have won to the Lord, remain there. That is the key to winning the city. Not just hit and runs all the time. We don't want to just tell them our story and then never talk to them again. No, he says, if you find the person of peace, stay there. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to stay there. If you find the person of peace, you got to stay there. And then he says, do not go from house to house. Don't do it. Don't just jump from here to there saying I'm planting seed everywhere. No, find somebody and work that ground because when you win that person to the Lord, they are a key to the other people in your life. My redhead's here with me tonight. And one time when we were pastoring in St. Louis, we wanted to go out of town. You just had those days you didn't want to run into anybody you know. We had one of those days and it was probably... It was on a Saturday, I remember this, and we went to this mall that we never go to. It was almost an hour from our house, out the St. Louis Mills Mall. Some of you guys know where that's at. So we went to the way out the St. Louis Mills Mall, and it's made in a circle. And so it's a long ways from us and a long ways from our church. And so when we walked in this mall, we hadn't been in there very long, and Faith says to me, she sees a girl over in a kiosk and she says to me, I think God wants me to go over there and pray with her. Now listen, honey, you think you know what revival's in. When my wife would rather pray than shop, that is revival right there. I mean, I just about ran the aisles when she said that. She would rather pray than shop. She said, I think God wants me to go. See, I knew this was God. First of all, because she would rather pray than shop. And secondly, because she usually says, I think God wants you to go over there and pray with that girl. That's what normally happens. But she didn't say that. She said, I think God wants me to go pray with that girl. And just like all of us, she got cold feet. And she said, I don't know if I want to. So we're in this big circle, we're shopping. Well, it can't get out of her mind. She says, man, I can't get that out of my mind. And she can't even enjoy shopping because she feels like she needs to go back and pray with this girl. And so we keep making our rounds. And finally she tells me, now, if that girl is still in that kiosk, when I get around there this time, I'm going to do it. Sure enough, the Lord had her all set up. We come around that corner and that girl was still in that kiosk. Faith handed me the bags. She walked over there, and this is all she said. You just got to find the person of peace. All Faith said was, honey, I know you don't know me, but can I pray for you? Just like that. That girl came out of that kiosk crying like a baby. She wrapped her arms around Faith. They'd never laid eyes on each other before. She wrapped her arms around Faith and she squalled and squalled and squalled. Faith prayed for her and that girl just cried and cried and cried and cried. I mean, it was like a reunion and she had never met her because Faith heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm working on that girl. Will you be my hands? Will you be my feet? Will you be my arms and my legs? Will you go where I'm trying to go? And the next morning is Sunday, and it is raining cats and dogs outside. I mean, it's one of those torrential rains. You wonder if anybody's going to show up. And in the middle of my sermon, I was up there preaching. In the middle of my sermon, the back doors came open and I saw this girl, and she is soaking wet from head to toe. I mean, she looks like she's been dipped in a pool. And she goes to the front. She asks for Faith, and Faith always sat on the front. And they brought this girl soaking wet, set her right beside Faith. I'm still preaching. And they put all these baptismal towels all over. So she's got towels all over because she's freezing and she's wet from head to toe. And I remember, I could read Faith's lips. She said, "What in the world happened to you?" Because this girl had nothing dry on her hair. Everything was soaking wet. What we didn't know, and she told us this story after church, is she only had one vehicle, a moped. That's her only vehicle. And our church was an hour from where she lived. And she said, "I was not gonna miss church on my first Sunday as a Christian, sitting with my spiritual mama." And that girl drove for a solid hour in a rainstorm so she could sit by the lady who led her to the Lord the day before and worship God for the first time. She was so turned on to Jesus Christ in a moment that she went through that rainstorm. Her name was Kayla, by the way. Kayla sat by Faith for the long time, but after a while, Kayla had to move off the front row. Would you like to know why? Kayla had to move off the front row because she won her mother to the Lord and her aunt to the Lord and her sisters to the Lord and her coworkers to the Lord and her friends to the Lord. And before it was over, there was a whole row of women that had come to Christ because one lady said, "Can I have a prayer with you?" And now a whole family is saved. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Don't go from house to house. You find a person of peace. They're the key to the whole city. I don't know how many people that kid in Phoenix, Arizona has won to the Lord, but I have a suspicion that one day God's gonna call me into a private room when we get to heaven, and he says, "I wanna introduce you to your grandchildren. This is your son. You led him to the Lord in a Mexican restaurant, and these are all the people that he won to the Lord." Stay in the house. If you find a person of peace, he said, stay there, because you have no idea how many of those people are going to come to Christ. Now, this time, before you high five, I want you to ask yourself a question. Am I willing, if the Holy Spirit shows them to me, am I willing to pray for the same five people every day? Maybe some of you already are, but I promise you, if many of you search your heart right now, you're not praying for five people every day to get saved. Sometimes the people we pray for are the people we love, and sometimes they're not a person of peace. Sometimes we have to win somebody else's son so God can send that person to win our son. I have a nephew. His name is David Cutshaw. David's never heard me preach. My father is a minister. David won't go hear him preach. David's dad preaches and he won't go hear him preach. My sister's married to a minister. He won't go hear him preach. My two daughters are both married to pastors. He won't go hear them preach. He won't go hear anybody preach. David likes drugs and he likes alcohol and he likes other things and he does not want to go hear them preach. But David ended up in prison. Now, we invited David over and over and over to come to the house of God, but he was not a person of peace. See, sometimes we keep inviting the same people and they don't come, and we get frustrated, but it's the people who come are the people that are persons of peace. But David ended up in prison with a roommate, and his roommate in the cell gave his heart to the Lord, and David is stuck with this guy. He cannot go anywhere. And this boy's a new Christian and he's turned on. And whether David's a person of peace or not, he has to listen to this kid, tell him about the gospel. And by the time David got out of prison, he had read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation by the time he got out of prison. God didn't tell you that you had to win everybody, but you have to go where he's trying to go. You have to find the persons of peace. And if you will win somebody else's son, God might win your son. He may have to send somebody else who can speak to them and speak their language. So I want you to high five somebody one more time. Can you do that? And this time I want you to ask them a question. Are you willing to pray for five people if the Holy Spirit lays them on your heart? Are you willing to pray for five people every single day?
Well, I hope you are enjoying this teaching, and the rest of it will play in just a moment, but I just wanted to take a moment, make you aware of a very special offer that we're offering right now on two of our most popular items. This one is called Keys to the Kingdom. This is a three DVD set that is a teaching on the parables of Jesus. Now, many people don't understand that the parables of Jesus, as you read them in the Bible, just sound like a story. Every one of them is a prophetic truth. Who knew that the parable of the Good Samaritan was about the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church? Every single parable unfolds just like that. That's what this teaching is about. And this is our top 10 most requested sermons. And we put this in a little USB drive, so you can stick it in your computer, or a lot of cars nowadays that don't have CD players have USB drives. So stick this right in your car and you can listen to our top 10 sermons as you drive down the road. So if you want this offer, go to briancutshall.com. This is offer Hope in the Word, or HW001. So HW001, and you can get this these two items at a special discount. Now let's continue in the Word of God.
Faith and I were fortunate to pastor a very large church in St. Louis, thousands of people. And the Lord really blessed us with a tremendous harvest. But I remember a time where our church, if you went back to the heyday of our church in St. Louis, it was a revival center. It was a place where, I mean, we were a shouting church. We were a dancing church. I was a dancing pastor. I mean, we loved our music and we loved our worship, and we went after God hard with our whole heart. Every time we were in his presence, we went after God with everything inside of us because we love the abiding presence of God in the house. But one of the things I did every year around my birthday is I would go on a hike, sometimes for several days, sometimes even a week. And I would walk in the Ozark Mountains on trails. I would take my Bible and I would take my calendar. And the goal was for me to come back. My birthday's at the end of September. And so the goal was for me to come back in October with the calendar done for the next year. So I'm not a last minute planning type of guy. I had my year planned before November for the next year. I still do that. ISO already knows every course we're going to develop next year. Ask the staff. It's already on the board. So we're already there. And so that's something I did every year. I was out there in the middle of the woods and I was frustrated because as big as our church was, we had stopped growing. And I was frustrated, and I know you've never done this before, but I was praying and it turned into fussing. I know you've never done that, just me, I'm the only one. But I was praying and my prayer turned into fussing with God. Now I've got two six shooters on both sides, two revolvers on both sides, because you don't know what you're gonna run into out there in those mountains. And I had to get in and out alive. And the next thing I know, I'm yelling to the top of my lungs at God because I'm mad. And I didn't go out there to do that. I went out there to be serene and be in his presence and walk with God in the cool of the day. But that's not what happened. I started praying. I started getting mad because I was stuck and I was frustrated. Here I was, the church trainer, and I didn't know what to do. And I was absolutely stuck. And the next thing I know, like a madman, I don't even know what possessed me to do this. I have taken my guns out and I look like Yosemite Sam out in that. I mean, I look like a crazy man who has lost his mind. I'm so glad nobody was looking because I pow, pow, pow. I am shooting off my mouth and I'm shooting off my guns and I'm saying things I should never be saying to the Almighty. And here I am just blabbing my mouth and shooting off my guns and I'm out of bullets. when I get through, it's like the Holy Spirit looked down and said, are you through? I thought, my goodness, I can't believe he's still talking to me after all the pitching a hissy fit like that. You know, I just pitched a tantrum on you and you're still talking to me. He told me later, he said, well, if the government's on his shoulders, my little tantrum's nothing. You think about that for a moment. After I had my fit in God's presence, he said to me, would you like to know why your church is not growing anymore? I said, yes, sir, I would. He said, it's because you practice spiritual birth control. I thought, what in the world is that? And I got mad that he said that. I said, what is spiritual birth control? Who says that? And I'm just mad. Who says spiritual birth control? Why does that even mean? And you know what he said to me? All I ever hear from you is bless me, bless me, bless me. Help me, help me, help me. Hold me, hold me, hold me. Love me, love me, love me. Give me, give me, give me. He said, that's all I ever hear out of you. You just want one more night with the King. You want to lay up in my bed and be intimate with the King and sing me songs, but you never conceive. He said, I'm kicking you out of my bed. The Lord said, how dare you bring me another song before you bring me a son? The problem with you is all you want to do is worship. And you know why you like to worship? Now he's talking to me. Because it makes you feel better. You worship because it makes you feel good. And it makes you feel better. And it was like God stomped his foot and said, I am a king. Where are my heirs? Where are my sons? Do you think Jesus died on the cross so you could sing me a song? And the Lord said, you sing all you want, but I'm not listening to another song you sing until you bring me a son. I can't even tell you what happened to me when he said that. It was just like I was in the Apostle Paul's cell all over again. I have never been more ashamed of myself in my life than the fact that I thought worshiping God excused me from winning souls. And God said, you do that to make yourself feel better, but you're not making me feel better. And in that moment, I said, God, I'm out of bullets. You got to get me out of here without a bear getting me. You got to get me out of these woods. But if you do, I'll make a promise to you. I will drive my car as far as I have to drive it to get out of these woods. And I will witness to somebody before the sun goes down. And I kept that promise. I got out of that. I drove in my car to a truck stop. And I don't know, it was in Cuba, Missouri. You probably don't even know where that's at. I drove to Cuba, Missouri at a truck stop. And I kept going till I found a person of peace. And I got more doors slammed in my face than I had them open. But I finally found one person that would let me keep my promise to God. Because I would have tried all night long because I was too ashamed. I went back to my congregation. You might have been there when I did this. You might remember this. I went back to my congregation and I said, I need to confess to you. I've been preaching the gospel all these years, but I have not been winning souls. And I am ashamed of myself. And I want to ask your forgiveness that you have a pastor who was a preacher, but not a soul winner. I told Twin Rivers that day, something's going to change right now. Every time I preach, I'm going to give an altar call for sinners. And they'll tell you I did that. For the first 2 or 3 months, nobody came. You know why? Because we didn't come bringing unchurched people with us. We come to shout. It wasn't even on our radar. And I would give an altar call, nobody would come. And I would give an altar call and nobody would come. I kept doing it. I wasn't going away. It never changed. And guess what? After a while, it caught on. High five your neighbor, I would say. Ask them if they're praying for their 5 people to come to salvation. And I'd do this every time I preach. High five your neighbor. I'd tell them, high five your neighbor. Ask them if they're praying for 5 people to come to salvation. And one of the things that I hope heaven's record will bear out is in the last 5 years I know of, maybe longer than that, but in the last 5 years that I was the pastor, I preached 3 services per Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, I preached 3 times in a row. And in all those services I preached, and then again on Wednesday, we never had one single service that somebody didn't get saved in over 5 years. Every single time somebody would get saved. As a matter of fact, it was common. We average between 20 and 30 people every single week getting saved because everybody was praying for 5 people and inviting 5 people. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are willing for the Holy Spirit to identify? I want them to go ahead and come to the musicians to come. How many of you are willing for the Holy Spirit to identify 5 people in your life that you will pray for every single day? Can I make a confession to you that I've made to other people before? My wife will tell you this. I was, after going through all of that with the Holy Spirit, I'd been high five your neighbor, 6 months into this. The Holy Spirit accosted me one morning and said, Brian, I need to ask you a question. Yes, Lord, what is it? Who are your 5 people? I said, what? Who are your 5 people? And I realized I had been leading the charge, turning everything around to evangelism, and I still hadn't done it. Even after 6 months, I realized I hadn't done it. And I prayed and asked the Lord, and I'll never forget, Faith and I both, we both had 5 people, and we didn't realize that the Lord had put the same person on our heart. Her name was Angela. Angela cut our hair. And I'd been praying for Angela, and Faith had been praying for Angela because she had her 5 and I had my 5. And I'll never forget when Angela showed up at church. When she raised her hands and sang and gave her heart to the Lord, I'll never forget. I could take one off and then I added another one. When I moved to Chattanooga, the Holy Spirit said, okay, you got to get 5 now in this city. You can't just stop. You got to get 5 in this city and you got to pray for them. So the easiest one was my hairdresser again. So I found a new one and I'm happy to report to you that I've been praying for this person. Every time I go in there, she says, I know you're going to pray for me again. I'm going to see her tomorrow. I'll be blacker by tomorrow afternoon, so just so you know. And when I go in there tomorrow, she's probably expecting it because almost every time I see her now, she says, you're probably going to pray for me again, aren't you? I said, oh, yes, I am. I pray for you every day. But I take her by the hand, and I pray over her life right there in the beauty salon. We're never going to win the world if we can't be naturally supernatural. I'm going to do something that's a little different right now. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come in just a moment, but not yet. I want every person in this room to close your eyes. Every person, just be respectful of the Lord and his servant tonight. Just be respectful of this. Everybody close your eyes. I knew when the Lord gave me this word that it was for somebody here tonight. So I'm going to start off by asking this question. Is there anybody here tonight that's heard this word, and you are not fully committed to serving Jesus Christ? See, there's a difference in loving God and living for God. There's a difference. You can love God and still not be living for God. But I want to ask this question. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, I'm just going to call myself Pastor B tonight since I preached you a pastoral sermon. Pastor B, I need to make sure that everything is okay between me and God. I'm not 100% sure that if I was to die tonight, where I would go. Can you just slip your hand up and down just real quick? I'm not going to embarrass you. I see hands going up all over this room. Several hands all over this room, just up and down. That's right. So many, I can't even count all of them. Hands all over this room going up and down. I'm not 100% sure that I am living where I need to be with God. Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to come and pray in a minute, but right now I'm going to pray what I call the sinner's prayer. And I'm going to let everyone in this room pray this with me out loud so that those of you who lifted your hand, whether you're committing for the first time or rededicating your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray that with me tonight. So I'm going to ask everyone in the room to repeat this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I have sinned and I need a Savior. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Come into my heart. Live inside of me and help me to live for you. I now confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you know what just happened? The angels just broke out in a celebration. Would you like to join them for just a minute? The angels just broke out in celebration. That's what happens in heaven.
The Bible says that some send and some go. Well, thank you for sending me to the world. This program is made available to you and brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw Ministry. I want to thank all of our monthly partners who help us take the gospel and our books and products, DVDs, CDs, YouTube channels, everything that we do around the world. If you would like to partner with us in ministry, please go to briancutshaw.com and sign up today. We would love to partner with you in ministry.